Well, if you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts, we're going to take a break from our study in Philippians this morning and look at Acts chapter 6. And here in Acts chapter 6, we're going to see really where I believe the first deacons were started and appointed, and this was a foreshadowing for the office of deacon, and we're going to see the importance of and the need of deacons in the church. And we're going to see how the Lord began this in Acts chapter 6. As you're turning there, let me kind of catch us up, since we haven't been in the book of Acts together, with what's going on here in the book of Acts. In chapter 1, this is at the time after the Lord Jesus' resurrection. He spent some time with the disciples and the other believers, continuing to teach them after his resurrection. And then he promises to them that he's going to send the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes down upon the church, he says, "You're going to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." And he tells them to wait there until the Spirit comes. And then it says Christ the Lord ascended right there before their eyes and ascended to the right hand of the Father. And then in Acts chapter 2, the church is there. They're ready to serve the Lord, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And it's the day of Pentecost, and there's all kinds of things going on where people are being saved. And Peter, who had struggled so much during the life of Christ, becomes bold, not because of anything within himself, but because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives him boldness, gives him encouragement, gives him power to be able to preach powerfully before the religious leaders. And he preaches to them about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And then Peter and John begin doing ministry together. And again, now they're able to go forth because they are being led by the Spirit. And they go forth and they see people come to know the Lord. They see many people come to know the Lord. God is saving the multitudes here in the early parts of the book of Acts. And then the religious leaders of the day are not thrilled with what's going on. And so they start persecuting John and Peter and some of the other disciples. But they're thankful that even in the midst of persecution, they can do so for the glory of the Lord. And that's what they say in Acts chapter 5. And so this is kind of the early start of the church where they're going forth in Jerusalem and they'll start spreading out to Judea and to Samaria to the ends of the earth. But in Acts chapter 6 right here, we're going to see that there was a whole lot of opposition going on the outside of the church, persecution and from the religious leaders and from other people. But now there's going to be tension and opposition within the church. And I know a lot of people talk about we want to be a New Testament church, but let me just tell you that the New Testament church still had problems as well. And they still struggled, and they still had to grow in the Lord, and they still had to be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to see this in Acts chapter 6. I think it should give us some encouragement that even the early believers struggled sometimes, and they still had issues, and yet God cared enough about those people and enough about their unity of the body of Christ to appoint what we're going to see, the office of deacon. And so let's look, if you would stand with me, and we're going to read Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. It says, "Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose against the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' The statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. And the word of the Lord kept spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would speak to us from your word, that we would hear from you, and that your spirit would guide us into all truth. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So the first thing that we're going to see in Acts chapter 6 is that there's a threat to the unity of the church. And this comes in chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "Now at this time, while the disciples, I still can't say that word this morning, so I don't know what's going on. But the disciples were increasing in number, and a complaint arose against the part of the Hellenistic Jews, against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of the food." And so here's what's going on. In the early part of the book of Acts, in the early church, they cared for the needs of every single person. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 45, it says that they began selling the property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone who might have a need. And so the needs of the body of Christ were being met by the believers of the church. They looked around and said, if someone's hungry, we're going to get food and make sure they're fed. If anyone is lacking money for anything, we're going to collect an offering and we're going to make sure that their financial needs are met. If there's anyone is sick, we're going to take care of them. They were taking care of the needs of the body. But as the number increased of these believers, the needs grew. And that makes sense. As more people come into the church, more needs arise, because all of us, we know, have needs in our own lives, and different seasons of our lives require more help from the church than others. But as they grew in number, their needs arose. And what was happening is you had these widows here from two different groups, the Greek, the Hellenistic Jews, and the Hebrew Jews of the widows. And they had daily service where they were feeding them. Well, what was going on is sometimes the Hellenistic Jews were being overlooked. And so this complaint grew, and they went to the disciples. Now, these are the 12, the 11, and then Matthias that walked with the Lord Jesus. They are the leaders at the church at this point, the apostles. And so they bring it to their attention that there's been a complaint, that there's some disunity going on in this early church in the body of Christ. And so we see this. And to me, there's something real about this. I think some people think that you'll hear that God's word's not relevant. Well, I read this passage and think, this is relevant. I don't know about you, but if you've been a part of this church or another church where there's sometimes complaints that arise. That happens. Sometimes disunity happens in the body of Christ. This passage right here is so relevant to us as a church today, and I'm thankful for it that there's not only the need, but there's a solution that we're going to see in just a moment. So this arises. And even next week, when we go back to the book of Philippians, the very next passage that we're going to see in Philippians chapter 1 and chapter 2 is the need to be unified as a body. That where Paul talks about that we should, in order to live lives that are worthy of the gospel, we strive together with one mind and one spirit. And so the unity of the body is so important. And God cares about his church being unified together. And so when we read this in verse 1, we should stop and think, okay, there's an issue here. What is going to be done for the solution? And so the next thing we're going to see is really the two offices of the church, the pastor and the deacon. There's an establishing here of those different roles. And as we read earlier for our call to worship, we saw the qualifications of a deacon. Right before that passage was the qualification of the pastor. And those are the two offices in the church that the Lord has ordained to help be leaders of his churches. And so for us, the Lord has brought me here to be able to shepherd this flock and to be a pastor. And the Lord has raised up faithfully many other pastors who's come before me. And God has also given this church faithful men of God who are deacons. And let me just say this as well. This sermon's not just for me. It's not just for the deacons. This is for all of us, because in just a moment, we're going to see that the deacons help to take the lead in the service of the church, but all of us are called to serve the body of Christ. And this is relevant for all of us as well. So I want us to think for just a few moments of the role of the pastor, and we see this in verses 2 through 4. So once the complaint has been made known, it says, the 12, that's the disciples, the apostles, summoned the congregation of the disciples. So they got the church together. And it says, they said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Now you read that and you might think, those apostles, they're so arrogant. They're not willing to step down and serve the tables and serve the widows and help those people. And at first it might seem like that. But what they're saying is, we've been commissioned by God to preach the gospel, to preach the word. And they said, they're not saying that that's not important to take care of the needs of the body. They're saying, this is what we're called to do, is to preach and to proclaim God's word and to train up and to teach and to disciple and to evangelize according to God's word. And we see that there's a need and we can't handle it. And so when we see this, we should be thankful, because no one person in the church can do everything. If I try to do everything for this body, then our body is going to hurt. If I try to do everything on my own, if the deacons try to do everything on their own, this body is going to suffer. If you try to do everything in this church on your own, this body is going to suffer. It takes all of us working together, understanding our role, understanding our purpose, and serving the Lord together. And so that's what the apostles are saying. God has tasked them, God has tasked the pastors to preach the word. They still serve, they still do things, they still do other things, but their devotion is to be, let's look at verse 3. Therefore, brethren, the congregation, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we may put in charge of the task, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And so when y'all called me here to pastor this church, I take this verse and I take it seriously that this is my calling, to devote myself daily to prayer and to the study of God's word and to the proclamation of God's word through on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, through counseling, through other times, through other discipleship and evangelistic opportunities. This is what I'm devoting myself to y'all, for the benefit of us, because God's word is what grows His church. God's word is what helps us when sinners, when unbelievers hear the gospel, when it's proclaimed, when it's preached. That's when they repent and they believe. It's not a message of the world. It's the message of God that they hear when they realize that they need Christ Jesus. And that comes through the word. Paul says this in Romans chapter 10. He says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. Isaiah said it this way in Isaiah 55. The Lord was speaking through him. And he says, just like I send the rain, and just like I send the snow and the precipitation down to the world to cause to the growth of things and for my purpose, to serve my purpose, when my word goes forth, it doesn't return void. It will accomplish what I've purposed. And God's word has been given to us so that we can hear from God who He is and recognize our great need for a Savior. And so for me, I take that seriously, to preach God's word and to be able to do that. Here's just one or two passages where Paul talks about this. He says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, he's talking to Timothy. He says, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching. He's saying, as the pastor at the church at Ephesus, Timothy, this is your job, to teach the people God's word. towards the end of his life, when he wrote 2 Timothy, he said, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." And over in the New Testament, we see that the pastor is called to preach the word. And so I do take this seriously. And I appreciate we have a men's group that prays every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. And Brother Dink always prays that, "God, we're thankful that it's not my message, it's not David's message, it's your message, it's your word. And I'm thankful that this is God's word, that this is a church that believes in the preaching of God's word, that this is a church that believes in the inerrancy and infallibility, and that this is God's holy word given to us as the church so that we can know him." And so that is my role. And I'm thankful that we have many deacons that can serve the needs of the body of Christ so that I can devote myself to pouring into this congregation through the word. Here's a pitch. Let me invite you also on Wednesday nights, if you don't come to Wednesday night service, to come, because it's another opportunity for us to study God's word together. Last week we finished up an overview of the Old Testament. Well, I told them we were going to finish up. We're going to go back one more week in the Old Testament. But it's just another opportunity that the Lord's given in the life of this church for us to study his word together. And that's what my task is. And again, let me say this. That doesn't mean that I can't serve your physical needs. That doesn't mean I won't take part in visitation. I love visitation. I love making phone calls. I love serving the needs of the body. But I'm thankful that I have deacons that can help me to do that. Because again, I cannot take care of everyone's needs here in this church. And so I'm thankful that we have men that can come alongside of me to help me to do that. And so we see that there was a need, and we see the role of the pastor. I want us to really focus in on the role of the deacon, though. Let's look back at verse 2 through 6. So the 12, the disciples, summoned the congregation and said, "It's not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task." And so the first thing we see with the deacons is that they came from the congregation. Each and every year we have deacon nominations that come from within this body. The Lord has provided this church with servants of the Lord to serve this body, men who are qualified to serve this body, and we do that each and every year. And so I think we see from this passage that is God ordained that our congregation each and every year be prayerful about who's going to serve as deacons. That'll come up later in the fall, and we'll be praying, "Lord, open our eyes to who should serve this next term as a deacon and help us to do that." And here's a few things that I think are important for us to understand about what a deacon is. Number one, a deacon is a man who is of good character. We see this right here in verse 3. "Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task." And so when we see here Luke is writing the book of Acts, when he says that set apart men of good reputation, that's exactly what we read earlier with the qualifications of the deacons, men who are of dignity, who are above reproach, men who exemplify the Christian life. And if you read these, people of good reputation, full of Spirit, full of wisdom, that should be characteristics of every believer. That should be characteristics of all of us, and yet those who serve as deacons should exemplify that. They should lead the way in that with their lives, and so that they have good reputation. They have a good reputation among the church family. They have a good reputation among those out in the community. When they hear Matt McCowan's name, they ought to say, "Wow, that's a stand-up guy." When they hear Buddy or anyone else's name, they ought to say, "He's a stand-up guy. He's a man of God." And that's why we're going to have the opportunity to ordain Brother Mac in just a little while, because we as a church have seen fit, have seen it in his life, that the Lord has saved him and the Lord is using him and the Lord has made him new, and that he has given his life to the service of the Lord and has a good reputation. The second thing we see of that good reputation, we see that he's full of the Spirit. That all of us are to be led by the Spirit. We know it's the Spirit of God who saves us and gives us new life. But we should be people who are led by the Holy Spirit. We know that the Spirit saves us. But it's one thing for us to say, I'm saved. It's another thing for us to say, I'm saved and I'm seeking to live my life to the glory of God by the Spirit each and every day. Last week we saw in our passage in Philippians chapter 1 where Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And we spent some time thinking about what it meant to live as Christ. And we flipped over to Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 where Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And that's a good definition of what it means to be full of the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, recognizing that our lives are no longer our own. But we pray each and every day, God, lead us by your Spirit. Give us understanding to your word and help us to serve you by the power of your Spirit. And that should be our prayer. And that's the prayer I know of our deacons. I've been just in the last couple of months in enough prayer meetings with them and enough deacon meetings to know that these men who are helping to lead this church are praying and doing so by the power of the Spirit. It would be a shame if we tried to do this, to lead this church on our own. And these deacons who you have appointed don't do that. They try to, each and every day, help to lead, help to serve this church, this body, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful for that. Then it says that they also are to be of wisdom. They're to be men who are wise, men who have wisdom. And that means they get their wisdom from where? From the Word of God. Not from the world, and they're seeking to be led that way, and they're seeking to make decisions for this body and to serve this body through wise decisions that come from the Lord. And so deacons must be of good character. Second, deacons must seek the unity of the church. That should be all of our desires, is that this church be a church that's unified together. I've had many conversations with Brother Buddy, who is our chairman of deacons, over the last few months, and I've asked him just to tell me some about this congregation, and over and over and over, Buddy has talked about how thankful he is of how unified this church has been. I know in the last year, even COVID aside, there's been a lot of changes here for this church. And that I'm new here, and y'all are still getting to know me, and I'm still getting to know each of you. And so that's a change. We know we've lost some other staff members. We know that some people have left, and some people have come new, who are new to the church. And there's a lot of change, and yet over and over, Buddy has said, I'm so thankful that this church family has stuck together, that there's not been any fighting or bickering, that this has been, he said, if there was a time for the church to be disunified, that would have been it this year. And yet the church has gotten stronger and closer together. And I think that's by God's grace and by the leading of his Spirit. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful, and I think that also helps because it's the deacons who have taken the lead when this church was without a pastor for so many months, who gathered together to pray for this flock and to help lead this flock by serving this church family. And so that's what the deacons are called to do, is to serve, to help the church be unified. And that's why they're appointed here in the book of Acts in chapter 6, is because there was disunity. And they were put in verse 3 in charge of this task so that the unity could be restored. And so for us, it should be our prayer as a church that we would continue to be a church that's unified together, that we are a church that seeks to glorify the Lord because of our love for one another, because of our care for one another. What did Jesus say in John chapter 13 at the end of that chapter? He said, the world will know you're my disciples by the love that you have for one another. And that love that we have for one another turns into a unifying love, or at least it should. And so deacons are of good reputation. They're unified together, and they help seek the unity of the church. Third, the deacons must be servants of the church. And deacons, they lead the church through service. They lead the church through service. That's why these seven men here in the book of Acts are set apart so that they can gather together and they can take care of the needs of the body. And I'm so thankful that we have deacons who are currently serving and who are inactive, that aren't right now active, that are serving the needs of the body. And I know that there are many of you who aren't deacons, who still serve this body, and I'm so thankful. But there are things in this church that I know, I said this a couple of weeks ago, and I want to say this again. I know there are tasks in this church, and there's things that are done each and every week that no one else sees that you do. And you might think, no one cares that I do this. This is a thankless job, and yet you do it. Whether you're a deacon or you're not a deacon, and I want to thank you for that. And there's things that I know that each of you do that I'm not even aware of that are taken care of, and that you see, hey, there's something that needs to be done, and you do it. You don't ask, you don't publicize it, and you do it. And that's what being a servant of the Lord is. And I'm thankful that we have men and women in this church that do that. And I'm thankful that our deacons help exemplify and lead the way in that. Here's a couple of things that I know that our deacons do on a regular basis, is that they visit those who are sick, they make phone calls, they care for the needs of this body. Over the last few weeks, I've been talking with some pastor friends, and they said, tell me about your deacons and what do they do? And I said, our deacons are wonderful. They call people. They visit with people. They help set up visitations so I can go visit with people. They take care of people's needs. And they said, wow, my deacons don't do that. I have to urge them on to do that. So I'm thankful that I'm at a church where the deacons see needs of people. And sometimes it's just a phone call. Sometimes it's just calling them and saying, I just want to check on you. Sometimes it's just visiting, saying, I just want to check on you. I just want to make sure you're okay. And I'm thankful that we have deacons that do that. I'm thankful that we have deacons that help take care of the building and the grounds here at the church. They maintain that. And it takes a lot to keep a building going. And listen, if this building went away, First Baptist Church of Lowry still exists, because the church is not the building. The church is the people of God. But I'm thankful that the Lord has given us a beautiful building, and that we have men who take pride in taking care of the needs of this building here. We also have deacons that help oversee the finances, and I know other people serve on that committee as well, but I'm thankful for that leadership. And there's so many other things. And Brother Mac, he has been a faithful servant. And I'm thankful that he's joining that, I guess, officially, that group of men by his ordination. He's been serving as a deacon for a while now, but he'll be officially ordained as a deacon this morning. And I see the servant heart that he has, and I'm thankful for that. Number four, deacons were set apart. We see this in verse 6, where the congregation chose these seven men. And then it says in verse 6, and they brought them before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. The deacons were set apart. That doesn't mean they're any holier than anyone else. It doesn't mean they're any more special. It just means that they are stepping into a role that the Lord Himself has ordained for the church. And they're accepting that role through this being set apart. And they're saying, Lord, I'm here to serve you. And I'm here to be set apart for your service, to do ministry for you. And so we see this. We see this importance of setting apart these men for the service of the Lord. And so we've seen that there was a need, that there was disunity. And then we see in this passage that the Lord really instills the office of pastor and deacon. And finally, we see that because of this, the church continues to grow. Let's look at verse 7. It says, the word of God kept on spreading. That's Luke's way of saying, as the word was preached, as the gospel was preached, people were coming to know the Lord. And it says, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem. and a great many of priests were becoming obedient to the faith. And so we see here, because the Lord was gracious, he cared about the unity of his church. He cared about the growth of his church. He cared about the spiritual needs of his church. So he set aside these offices of pastor and deacon right here. And as he did, and as needs were continued to be met here, and as the word of God continued to go forth, the church grew. And God saved people. And the church continued to grow. And I'm thankful for that. And so I want us this morning, as we think about this, that as we conclude this morning with our sermon time, I want us to be a church that's praying for this. I want us to be a church that prays that God's word would go forth, not only with the Sunday morning worship gathering, not only on Wednesday nights, but in our own homes. That we would be families that gather around God's word and that take seriously God's word. That we would be people of God that loves God's word, because God's word, as it says in verse 7, that's what causes the growth. God uses his spirit and his word to cause growth in our lives. And so let's pray for that. Let's pray as our deacons seek to lead by being servants of the Lord, that they would lead the service of this church, that they would help to take care of the needs of the body. And then let's finally pray, as all of this happens, that we would be a church that's unified, that we would be known as a church that loves one another, that cares for one another, that cares for the community and cares for those needs. But let us be a church that's unified. That's my prayer. That's my prayer for us and going forward. And again, we're going to hear a lot more about the purpose of unity next week in Philippians 1 and 2. But that should be all of our desires, that we would be a church that continues to walk step by step together with the Lord, being unified. So let's pray together. Father, we do praise you for who you are. God, we thank you for your love and for your kindness. God, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for his salvation that he has given us. God, if there's anyone here this morning that does not know you, has not trusted in Christ Jesus as their Savior, Father, and their Lord, I pray that you would save them, that you would bring them to yourself by your Spirit, and that you would open their eyes to the truth of the gospel, of their great need for you. Father, I pray that you would be with us as this church seeks to be a church that preaches your word and proclaims your word and shares your word with others. I pray that you would be with the deacons of this church as they seek to help lead in the service of this church, Father, and take care of the needs of the body. And Father, I pray that we would be a church that is unified together. God, we thank you for your faithfulness to this church family. It's in Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.